at LK Mobile. Okay, KC4SKD. Good evening. I hope you and Rhonda are well tonight.
You are too. Just got home after fighting a bunch of traffic, trying to get things done around the house. You know, washing clothes, taking out the trash, the usual stuff.
There's always something to do, isn't there?
It never stops. But anyway, right now I'm changing batteries. Got one of these old Casio digital data organizers. The thing is made in 1990 and it still works. And there's certain things that I find it useful for. But I have to change the batteries every 2 years.
That's a long time those batteries are lasting. 2 years, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we've got two of them. I use mine at work a lot. I mean, this it never fails to go off and beep, reminding me of stuff. I tried making my phone do that, but didn't work out too good. But this old Casio thing is great. It stores phone numbers, and it's not connected to anything, so you don't have to worry about privacy.
An electronic Rolodex.
It's got a calendar where you can make it beep Tuesday morning at 8:30 and say, you know, go eat ice cream or whatever you put in it.
I guess they still make stuff like that, but most everything, I guess most people use their phones, and I know what you mean about privacy. It's not connected to anything. It just does what it does, and that's it.
You can put secret passwords and whatever in it. And anyhow, yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I'm changing the batteries, and it just got three batteries. If you change them one at a time, then you don't lose the data. You know, it's set up that way.
Question: does it lose everything when you change the batteries? But does it also give you an alert when the batteries are low so they don't go completely dead on you?
I don't know. I don't remember. I'd have to get the book out and read it. But, yeah, you take the door off the back, and then you got three separate little metal contacts with a screw, and you got to take one off, and it's got a little metal plate, and you change it, then you go to the next one, and then the next one. That it does come up, reminds you to check the time after you're done, just to make sure that's okay.
What kind of batteries is it? I'm assuming it's a little round, like watch batteries.
This is a 2032 battery, and but one problem is getting the batteries out of the little package that they ship them in. Things are so aggravating to open and get out now. It's crazy.
Use that heavy-duty plastic, don't they? And they melt it around it. They are very difficult to get open.
You got to be careful. I about cut my hand before getting things out of packaging.
You still working on a car, a vehicle you had in your garage? I knew there for a while you were doing something, and I don't even know what. I just would hear you mention it every once in a while.
We have four that I worked on for so long, and it is running great. The check engine light keeps coming on, and it has something to do with either the gas cap or the charcoal canister or a little vacuum hose, but it's not that, something that's not that serious. But I do want it fixed, but it's so intermittent. And you look up the book, and there's about eight different things that it could be. So what I'm doing, I'm just doing one. If that don't work, then the next time the check engine light comes on, then I do the next thing on the list.
2017 RAV4. What year is yours?
It's a 1998. And the thing is in great shape. The interior all looks good in it. Nothing's torn or faded in it. And we love driving it. It's four-wheel drive. It'll go anywhere. In the snow, we have yet to have a problem with it, what little snow we have around here.
Cars, Toyota makes a really, really good car. The Camry used to be the most sold sedan or car, but I think the RAV4 has overtaken that now. Of course, the models have changed. It's like the, if you ever see an old Highlander or the old RAV4, they were little tiny cars. Even the Highlanders, they've really come a long way.
I have to say that this is the most difficult vehicle I've ever encountered to work on. Of course, it's nothing like the ones they got out now. Oh boy, they're really difficult. But yeah, I got it running good except for that check engine light about every 9 days. But now my truck, I got an 02 Tacoma, and I've been working on it. It had an oil leak really bad. It would pour oil all over the exhaust. So I took the, you got to take the intake plenum off, throttle body, and I went even down further and took the intake, the rest of the intake manifold off, and did some work down in the engine. The knock sensors were bad, so I changed them.
We had a 2000 Camry that, in fact, well, my mother-in-law bought it new, and then she ended up getting dementia. We inherited it, and all of our kids drove it as their first vehicle until they bought their own car, and now my oldest son still has it. But it was one of, I found it was one of the easiest vehicles to do stuff on. Now, I didn't get deep into the engine part, but as far as changing, well, anything, rotors, CV axles, alternator, whatever, everything was very easy to get to. And that, my oldest son, he used to have a Honda that was a similar year. And man, we would do stuff on that and then on the Camry, and the Camry was just so much easier. But they are difficult now for sure. Now, do you have a mechanical background, or you seem like you really get into some of the deep stuff there? I can do some stuff, but I don't want to go too deep or I'll get myself in trouble.
My vehicles throughout my life since 17. This KC4 SKD for ID, but I don't get down to the part where you get micrometers and you start measuring bearing journals and bore, you know, cylinder bores and miking the crankshaft and stuff like that. But a lot of it we've been able to work on and do ourselves, but some of it, you know, we've got to carry to machine shops. So. And the head for the RAV, I carried it and got it rebuilt.
I learned how to change the oil and, you know, do maintenance stuff like that as a kid. And I do sometimes wish that, you know, my dad had been more mechanical like that, where, because I work with some guys and like, yeah, I pulled the engine out of one vehicle this weekend, put another one in, or I did this or that. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, I know I can read directions, but I just, I don't even want to tackle something that much.
Me too. We've taken engines out and swapped engines. My brother had a Corolla. This was in the early 80s. It had a bad engine. So Dad found another engine. It was in great shape. So we had the chain fall and the hoist and everything. And this was after our Thanksgiving Day dinner one year. We got out there, several of us, and we had one engine out and the other engine back in and it running by the end of the day.
I admire people that can do that. I admire that skill, too. I imagine it might be a little more difficult on today's vehicles if you took a newer vehicle today, and probably a lot more to do, at least with all the electronics and computer stuff.
It's quite complex. In the RAV4, I took the entire engine wiring harness out, and it had some problems, so I laid it out on a big table and went through from one end to the other, redoing tape and plastic and all that, and fixing things back with it. But if we were to have to take the whole engine out of that RAV, then forget it. I don't have the tools or you know, the place to work on something that major with it.
Have the little spare tire accessory on the back door there, on the back of the back of the vehicle.
And when you do tire rotation, you rotate five tires. All five wheels are the same. And you take the one off the back and you put it in to the mix, and you take one of the others off, I forget which it is, and you put it back on the door. So it helps too to you spread the wear over five tires instead of four, and it makes a difference. We had a set of Michelins on it one time, and a couple of the Michelins had 100,000 miles on them.
Full-size spare tire on this truck. I keep meaning to try to find a rim, a matching rim, so that I can do the same thing, because that would make sense. It would make them last a little bit longer. Plus, if that spare tire sits back there too long, it'll dry rot if you don't ever use it. So it's better to actually run them on the road.
Yeah, they will. In fact, the last time I had tires put on my truck, I had them to take the spare tire out from and under it and inspect it and look at it, because it's been on there since 02, and, you know, I'm getting a little afraid of it.
An excursion that had the tire inside the luggage, or, you know, the back. It had a rear, well, it was three seats, and then behind them where you could put luggage, there was a spot on the side for the tire, and it was covered up with a, you know, nice cover and all that, but it was inside, and we ended up having to use it one time, and I bought the spare and brand new, but it sat in there, and I guess the heat and not being used, just the dry air, about, 10 days after I put that spare on, I was waiting to replace the other one. It blew out going down the road and damaged the rear of the vehicle. Had to get that repaired.
I hate to hear that. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But anyhow, I'm gonna go ahead and sign with you here in a minute. My clothes are almost dry. I gotta get them out the dryer and try to get some rest of this housework done. But I heard you in there and just wanted to say hello and chat for a few minutes.
Appreciate it. I enjoyed the chat. Thanks for coming back to me. You and Ron have a good evening. And thanks for the information on all that. That's more than I think I would want to get into, some of that mechanical stuff. You have a good evening. We'll talk to you later. KC4SKD, N4ZLK.
To chat, and on another note, there's been many times I've been sitting underneath the vehicle, have it up on jack stands, scratching my head and say, oh boy, what are we going to do about this part? But anyway, most of the things we've been able to figure out. But take care, Shane. Hope you have a good rest of your day. KC4SKD.